Morgan here from Monitor 67, where we'll be talking a few minutes from now with a lady who's written a book about the Plaza, one of New York City's more elegant hotels. First, let's listen to Jamie and the J. Sylvia Singers. You've Got Your Troubles.
I see that worried look upon your face. You've got your troubles, I got mine. She's found somebody else to take your place. You've got your troubles, I got mine. Your troubles, I got mine. You need some sympathy, well, so do I. You got your troubles, I got mine. She used to love me, that I know, and it don't seem so long ago that we were walking, that we were talking the way your troubles, I got mine. I'd open another place another time. You got your troubles, I got mine.
Dealer is saying yes during his annual YES, year-end sale.
Yes!
Year-end savings.
Now!
He's got the car for you. 36 youthfully styled models, more features than ever. Want a luxury car in the low price field? Cutlass Supreme.
Yes!
Live big, spend small.
Save!
Want an economical full-size car? He's got them. The all-new Del Monte 88. Hardtops, convertibles, choice of rocket power.
Yes!
Lowest priced 88.
Save!
If you fancy something fancier, here's fine car elegance without paying the fine car price. Delta 88 Custom.
Now!
Luxurious interiors.
Wow!
See your Olds dealer, the Yes Man, for a great deal on a fabulous front-wheel drive Coronado or an elegant 98.
Yes!
Year-end sale.
Now!
For 60 years, the Plaza has been the New York address for diplomats and artists and actors and royalty. Nobody ever says the Plaza Hotel, by the way. It's the Plaza. It's a monument, sort of, to elegance and good taste. Nothing has ever ruffled its well-ordered existence all these years, not even Eloise. Eve Brown, who's our monitor guest, has written a history of the Plaza, its life and times, and its times go back to 1907. Eve Brown, millions of Americans have at least walked through the lobbies or seen the Palm Court and or the Oak Room or one of the public rooms, probably the Grand Ballroom. So why don't we start at the beginning? Do you happen to know offhand who was the first person to register?
Well, the first person to register was Mr. Vanderbilt, Alfred Gwynne Vanderbilt, and his wife. I think it's interesting that registration, which was on the first line of that register, was Mr. and Mrs. Alfred Gwynne Vanderbilt and servant. Now, that isn't done anymore, but that is the way it reads. And many of the people who came to the plaza in the early days were accompanied by their servants. As a matter of fact, even today, some of them are accompanied by their couple or a maid or a chauffeur.
Didn't at least one guest come to the hotel, register, and stay 50 years?
Clarabelle Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
She came that first year. She lived there for 50 years. She lived in the same apartment. She died just before the plaza had its 50th anniversary. Broadway knew Clarabelle very well. She came from Kentucky. She was a tall, blonde woman who could ride like a trooper, always rode her horse in Central Park and showed at all the horse shows. But she loved theatrical people. She loved people in the arts. She loved bohemian people. And she had them in the hotel all the time and entertained them.
Royalty have stayed at the plaza and still do. Name some royal. Let's drop some big names.
Well, I can drop a very recent one. And there's an interesting story attached to that. The King of Morocco, who was here about 3 years ago, came back a month ago for a state visit. The last time he was in the United States, his visit at the plaza was followed by the visit of Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia. This time, both kings were in the United States at the same time, but the reservation for the King of Morocco came in first, and they couldn't put up Emperor Haile Selassie. He went to the Carlisle. However, on the last day of his visit, when he was leaving to go to the airport on his way home, he came to the plaza to pay his respects and to receive the respects of the King of Morocco. And it was a very interesting thing. I was there. I watched him come in. The King of Morocco, who's a very nice-looking young man, was standing at the Fifth Avenue entrance, and he was wearing these long white robes, which are habitual in his country, and he had the little fez hat on and sort of white shoes that were made of sort of a cloth. And he stood there rigidly, waiting for someone. And promptly at 5, the Emperor Haile Selassie came in, and he was received by this young potentate. They embraced, and arm in arm, they went up to the king's quarters on the 14th floor. Haile Selassie stayed there for about 15 minutes, left, went back to the Carlisle, and departed for Kennedy Airport on his way home. Now, I thought that was rather a historic moment.
Imagine two kings meeting in the lobby.
In the lobby.
Hmm.
And imagine one king waiting for the other.
Now, I have to tell one, and it's so brief, I got it from your book. When Nikita Khrushchev came to the plaza, he came to attend a reception, and there were always a very smartly dressed people in the lobby, either parked there for 2 minutes waiting for a car or something. And there were two very well-dressed ladies standing there, and when Khrushchev came in, they said, "Boo." And he said, "Boo."
Not only said boo, he turned around and stuck his tongue out at them.
Well, I wouldn't do that in the plaza.
You wouldn't, but apparently Khrushchev did.
We've been talking with Eve Brown, whose book, The Plaza, is stuffed with fascinating material. And there is a light summer's or cold winter's reading. It's a fine book. Eve Brown, thanks very much for coming by.
Thank you very much, Henry Morgan. It was a great pleasure.
Some people just don't believe that accent makes a difference when it comes to food. Take Herb.
All right. When Barney barbecues, he uses accent. I don't use accent. You want to convince me accent wakes up sleeping flavor? Take Barney's leftovers and take my leftovers and let's have a taste test.
Herb.
Yes?
Barney never has any leftovers.
Oh.
Did you know that today, July 9th, is the anniversary of the date when Horatio Seymour was nominated for president? Thank you. It happened at the Democratic Convention in New York City in 1868, and their vice presidential candidate was Francis P. Blair. Aren't you glad you tuned in today?
Agent 00 Breck has a suds bomb for you, but you don't have to duck, it's only shampoo. And so gentle to hair that the whole family will be looking just swell. Try it, you'll see. That big sudsy balm is Breck Concentrate. What a shampoo, it makes you feel great. In each plastic tube at a price that's quite low is Breck Quality for a gal or her beau. Just a dab of shampoo, some water, then wow, Breck Concentrate lathers up with a pow. A balm full of suds is a feeling that's great with the gentle power of Breck Concentrate.
Theme with Buddy Rich at the drums. In the event you'd like to set your grandfather's clock, it's now 19 minutes after the hour, and you're on the monitor beacon.
A new play is opened at the Vivian Beaumont Theater as part of Lincoln Center's Festival 67. Peter Ustinov's The Unknown Soldier and His Wife received a generally good set of reviews from the drama critics of New York's three metropolitan dailies. The Daily News critic writes that The Unknown Soldier has wit, sardonic humor, and is absorbing and amusing. The New York Times critic describes Ustinov as essentially a raconteur, a conversationalist, and a parlor entertainer, but adds that the play is entertaining vaudeville. The New York Post Review calls The Unknown Soldier and His Wife witty, poignant, refreshing, something of a theatrical miracle. It ends with, "No one with any theatrical adventure should miss it." The Unknown Soldier and His Wife is the first play presented at the Vivian Beaumont Theater, produced by an outside Broadway management, and its run will span the summer, after which the Lincoln Repertory Company will resume its regular subscription series in October with a revival of Lillian Hellman's The Little Foxes.
Get your tickets for The Unknown Soldier and His Wife at the box office Vivian Beaumont Theater.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of people.
Continuing with Monitor 67, here's Tony Bennett with a romantic ballad about days of love.
Days of love, oh, those wonderful days of love, when we walked through a world of lilac trees, when a breeze kissed the lilac trees, how they trembled above in the warm summer air. Days of love, let us speak out in praise of love. When I reached for a dream and you were there. Good times fly with the winter.
I agree. There's nothing like a lark.
Lark has a good, easy taste.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
I think they're the nicest cigarette there is.
Right. There's nothing like a Lark.
There is nothing like a Lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Why do other countries use the metric system while the United States still clings to its measurements in inches, pounds, and miles per hour? And what problems do the different measuring systems make between the nations that use them? Monitor's Peter Hackus examines the confusion and some of its results.
If you were a space project engineer, you'd spend a good part of your time making unnecessary slide rule calculations. Technicians in all fields are constantly having to multiply inches by feet by pounds, bushels, and gallons. The fact is, there are 85 different weights and measures we use in our daily lives. For years, there's been an effort in this country to try to officially drop this hodgepodge and adopt the standardized metric system, which is now used by 90% of the people of the world. In 1958, India's 400 million people shifted to metric. The British have now begun the changeover, which leaves the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand as the only nations, the major nations, still not on the metric system. And Australia, which has just adopted cents and dollars in favor of pounds and shillings, has announced officially it plans to go metric. It's been estimated the aerospace industry alone in this country would save $100 million a year, just in time spent in needless calculations, if the U.S. went metric, with its handy multiples of 10. To say nothing of the hours of perspiration we go through in school and college. It's been estimated that this country, the largest exporting nation in the world, could be losing as much as $20 billion a year in trade by not making exportable products in metric measure, items like delicate instruments and machine tools. It's coming, but slowly. The Pentagon has announced it may use the metric system for the first time to produce a major weapon system, the $200 million Maverick air-to-ground missile. The Army has switched to millimeters to describe weapons and ammunition. One of the big drug firms, Eli Lilly, went metric in 1959. And now Ford says it's working out a schedule for its changeover. It will take time and money. One estimate is more than $500 billion to go metric. But no one has a real handle on that figure, so again, bills have been introduced in both houses of Congress to set up a 3-year study. The WAGs, of course, have had a ball, saying Gina Lola Brigida's measurements are an astronomical 93-71-89. That's in centimeters, translated from her 37-28-35-inch measurements. Overweight women, they say, ought to love the metric system. A 130-pound lady would weigh only 59 kilograms, that is. There are those who still say they wouldn't touch the new system with a 3-meter pole. When they do, Texans will start wearing 38-liter hats, and 28 grams of prevention will still be worth a half a kilogram of cure. This is Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington.
Just occurs to me, I weigh over 12 stone.
In hot, sticky weather, a simple talc or dusting powder just isn't enough. It can't give you deodorant protection. But now you can use Ammon's Medicated Powder, a body powder that provides deodorant action while it soothes and comforts your skin. Ammon's powder helps keep you fresh all over for hours. And note, simple talc or dusting powder does that. Be comfortable and nice to be near. Use Ammon's Medicated Powder every day.
Thank you. comfort of the orchestra. Now, some talk about transportation.
Hey there, Mr. American Motors Rambler dealer. It's surprise time.
Right, with surprising deals on 1967 Ambassadors. And say the secret surprise word, you get a special surprise.
For the benefit of the radio audience, the secret surprise word is duck.
I'm interested in this yellow duck.
How come you know the secret surprise word?
I just heard it over the radio.
Oh. Well, this is our top-of-the-line ambassador.
Swell, what's my surprise?
Your surprise is that Motor Trend magazine calls the interior of the ambassador overwhelmingly rich.
Yeah, I can see that. What do I get for saying duck? Well, you owe me another surprise.
Very well. See the low list price on this ambassador?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll sell it for even less.
Now, that's a nice surprise, but what do I get for saying duck?
Here.
What?
Your surprise.
Yes, for a surprising deal on a big 1967 Ambassador from the same dealer who sells a U.S. Compact at an import price. See your American Motors Rambler dealer.
Want to buy a duck?
This is Monitor, here to keep you in touch with the weekend world, no matter where you may be in the USA. Our friends in the area of San Diego, California, hear us on station KOGO. Now a word from your own NBC affiliate, then more Monitor. I'm H. Morgan.
This is Sandy Koufax. I'll be interviewing a top sports personality later today on my Monitor Sports Show on NBC Radio.
This is Morgan with more of Monitor, the voice of the weekend world. Coming up shortly, an interview with actor Hugh O'Brien, whose hobby is fishing. Right now, a new one in the music department, Barbara Streisand singing Stout-Hearted Men.
You who have dreams, if you act, they will come true. To turn your dreams to a fact, it's up to you. If you have the soul and the spirit, never fear it, you'll see it through. Hearts can inspire other hearts with their fire, for the strong obey when a strong man shows them. Stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more.
Nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I like the taste. Simple as that.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I think everybody who smokes should try a lark.
There's nothing, nothing, nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Come a lark today.
Great smoke, right eye chains.
Hey, there's nothing like a lark.
Come a lark today.
There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
You may be interested to know that for her next big hit, Miss Streisand will sing the newspaper. Next, Monitor Goes Fishing with Lindsay Nelson. Brought to you by DuPont Strand Fluorescent Monofilament Fishing Line. You see it, fish miss it.
Handsome Hugh O'Brien is more than an actor. He's a fisherman. On the water, under the water. He'll tell us about it after this word from another fisherman, Gene Shepherd.
For just 60 seconds, I want you to imagine that you're a smallmouth bass. You see, and you're lying there under the lily pads. That sun is hanging overhead. The water is just at that right temperature. You're feeling a few pangs of hunger when all of a sudden you see this strange-looking minnow moving along, or this frog over the surface of the water. You start to move upward, and then all of a sudden you see that attached to that minnow is a long, thin, black shadow. And attached to that shadow is a big, fat fisherman. if that same bass ran into a lure that was attached to Strand by DuPont, he would be in bad trouble. That line is practically invisible to the fish, whereas it's totally visible to the fisherman and gives him that control he needs to really lay it to him. Strand by DuPont.
There is one nice thing about acting. Wherever you are, wherever the location, there usually are fish to be caught, provided, of course, that the fish don't catch you. Hugh O'Brien told Monitor's Gene Rayburn about it.
Where have you fished, Hugh O'Brien?
Well, most recently, in Africa, when we were making Africa Texas style, we went fishing on the Murchison River. That's the upper Nile. And the perch there.
River perch. Mm-hmm.
And there is a limit. You have to catch them over, you know, a certain size, or you have to throw them back. And do you have any idea what the poundage is?
Well, I know. You probably, if they weigh, let's say, less than a pound, you probably have to throw them back.
If they weigh less than 25 pounds, you have to throw them back. River perch, the Nile River perch, sometimes go up to 200 more than that. They're huge, unbelievable. If they weigh less than 25 pounds, that's too small, buddy. Throw it back.
Is that a true perch?
It's a river perch, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously they're heavy. They must be very difficult to bring in. Do they give you a big fight, too?
A tremendous fight, but they're fun to catch. And
what kind of
equipment? There you are in the wilds with elephants all around you, which makes it a little more rough. And then over your right is a big hippo waiting for something that you miss. And then below you, there's a crocodile waiting for you in case you miss, you know?
What about American fishing? Have you done much of it in this country?
Well, I have. I grew up with a fishing pole in my hand, practically, but I enjoy it very, very much, but I've become a real bug on skin diving, and although I don't...
Do you go after fish when you're doing skin diving? That's a real challenge, isn't it?
It is, especially the larger varieties. You know, you get big grouper up to, let's say a couple hundred pounds or so, and underwater they can give you quite a fight.
Yeah.
And barracuda, they're quite an interesting fish, the smartest fish. Because you could have a gun underwater that, let's say, had a 5-foot extension on it, and a spear that was, say, 3 feet, which is 8 feet, and then a line, which is 20 feet, which is 28 feet, and your arm is 3 feet long, that you hold the gun out. So that's, say, 31 feet.
Yeah.
And that barracuda will follow you. And when you turn around to try to, say, hello,
take
fella.
Take a shot at him. Yeah.
He will always stay exactly 32 feet away. And the only way you can get a barracuda is to go around a rock, big rock underwater, and you go around the rock, and it's like cowboying, and it's like we used to do in Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
And you go around that rock, and you just sit there, and pretty soon that barracuda comes and snicks his nose around that rock. And
he doesn't know you're there, huh?
Well, he follows you, see?
Oh.
And then... and then run. But I had a funny story happen once. I was skin diving underneath the water. If I can tell you for a second. You ever hear of Mort Hall? He's married to Diane Lynn.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mort, and they had a huge boat over in the bay of Acapulco. And there was a captain on this big boat, and he called us over. And he says, hey, you fellas are skin. He didn't know it was me. And he said, this is Mr. Hall's boat. And I said, oh, yes. I recognize the boat. And he said, Mr. Hall dropped his lighter, gold lighter, overboard. And anyway, to make a long story short, if you could go down and find it, His wife gave it to him Christmas. It's a very valuable thing, and he says, I'll give you $15. You know, so you didn't know why I was. I got the mask on. And they said, sure, great. So I only had a little air. Went down, looked down. I got down to the bottom of the ocean. There are 5,000 lighters.
5,000 lighters?
They had a beer party the night before, and down below the big, huge boat are like about 5,000 beer cans. And from, well, 10 feet away underwater, they all got the gold
like,
ends.
Yeah.
And they look like lighters. Well, I can tell you, I had a heck of a mess, but I finally found the lighters.
Yeah.
And it had his initials on it, which I found out when I brought it on top. And as we came, my mort came to the railing and said, oh, hey, hi, Hugh, how are you? Come on aboard, have a beer. And I said, I just had 5,000. Anyway, we came on board, and he says, what you doing here? And I said, oh, I don't know. He says, I said, by the way, did you happen to lose a lighter, the initials or so forth and so on? And I said, I thought it might be yours because it had your initials on it. He says, yeah, I did. And he looks and he says, that's my lighter. Where did you find it? And I said, oh, I just happened to be walking along on the bottom of the ocean, and I came across a lighter, and I looked at the initials, M, you know, H, and I figured, gee, that's my old buddy Mort Hall. So I brought it up. He says, you were just walking along the bottom of the ocean, you found my... How about that? And he still believes to this day that I just happened to be walking along the bottom of the ocean, and I found his lighter.
So the truth came out today. We've been talking to the most unusual fisherman we've ever had here on Monitor, a man who goes fishing for gold cigarette lighters.
Now, there's something for Gene Rayburn to fish for. Or maybe he already has a gold cigarette lighter. This is Lindsay Nelson, and now a word about DuPont Strand.
Ever wonder if your fishing line scares away fish? Use Strand fluorescent monofilament. Stop wondering. It's almost invisible to fish. That's because Strand glows soft blue. To the fish below, it blends in with the color of the sky. But to you, it stands out clearly against any background. Strand by DuPont is strong and abrasion resistant. It's limp, yet has low stretch. It has outstanding knot strength and impact resistance. Buy Strand fluorescent fishing line wherever fine sporting goods are sold. You're tuned to Monitor, where we'll be hearing shortly from Dr. Joyce Brothers with some sound advice for young men who are trying to impress young women. We invite you to stay with us right here on the Monitor Beacon. Carrying on with Monitor 67, here are the Ray Conniff Singers with Moonlight Brings Memories.
My darling.
I dropped in this afternoon. Well, aren't you bright? Doesn't this humdrum housework ever dull your personality?
Busy mothers, women who can't afford to be dull, sharpen their wits with No-Doze. No-Doze Keep Alert tablets or new chewable mints, safe as coffee, help you keep up with people and conditions around you. So to fight off afternoon letdown,
sharpen your wits with No-Doze. No-Doze keeps you alert.
Monitor music now, a new one from Buddy Greco. I Will Wait for You.
The clock will tick away the hours one by one. And then the time will come when all the work is done. The time when you return and find me here and run straight to my waiting arms. If it takes forever, I will wait for you. For a thousand summers, I will wait for you. Until you're back beside me, till I'm holding you, till I hear you sigh here in my arms. Anywhere you wander, anywhere you go, every day remember how I love you so. In your heart believe what in my heart I know, that forevermore I'll wait for you. If it takes forever, I will wait for you. For a thousand summers, I will wait for you. Till you're here beside me, till I'm touching you, and forevermore sharing your love. Anywhere you go, every day remember how I love you so. In your heart believe what in my heart I know, that forevermore I'll wait for you.
The main trouble with men, women, men think they know what a woman finds attractive in the male of the species. Here's the straight scoop from an expert who also happens to be a woman, Dr. Joyce Brothers.
Preparing to make a conquest? Of a girl, that is. How are you going about it? Are you taking vitamins and a muscle-building course? Or a night school class in poetry? Will you invite her to the races and bet a lot of money, and then go bar hopping and drink too much to show her how well you hold your liquor? What if somebody says something to provoke you? Will you haul off and hit him to prove that you're a man with a hair-trigger temper, not to be crossed? Will you try to impress her by bragging about all the other women in your life? If this is the way you intend to woo your intended, you may be a long time about it. For these definitely aren't the methods that win the lady's hand or the lady. Unfortunately, the successful ways are better known to research psychologists than to romantic swains. I'll let you in on a few of them. Take the matter of strength, for instance. Men think women like strong men, and they do. But they prefer intellectual strength to overdeveloped muscles. You don't have to make like a genius, but you can make her think you're intelligent, even if you're not very. One way to do this is to tell her you're spending Tuesday and Thursday nights in class instead of with her. Then you can be stupid the rest of the week if you wish. She will have had time to dream of you as an intellectual, and once she's created that image in her mind, nothing you do will erase it. And remember another thing when you're deciding whether to blow your savings on tuition or a new suit. A woman thinks education, not clothes, makes the man. She also thinks men can't be trusted, so bragging about the other girls in your life will only push her out of it. If you want to get rid of her, be unpredictable, a spendthrift, a gambler, a hard drinker, a quick-tempered scrapper, or a sulker. If you want to win her, be witty, sophisticated, good-humored, tender, and faithful. And be the boss, but not a bossy boss. Does all this seem too much? Well, don't worry about it. Just manage enough to attract her in the first place. After that, her imagination will supply you with virtues you've never even imagined. That's because all you're after is a real, live girl. Real, live girls like to put their men on pedestals and worship them. Don't fight it. The air may be rare up there, but it's the only way you'll ever become a hero without really trying. This is Dr. Joyce, Brothers for Monitor.
Witty, charming, faithful, intellectual, thoughtful, temperate. Good luck, honey. Gonna be a lot of old maids. Now, a message meant for you.
Get with living the exciting way. Drink sparkling champagne like nothing else you ever tasted. Nothing else except champagne. So put more sparkle in your life today with sparkling champagne.
Taste like champagne. Champagne. C-H-A-M-P-A-L-E. Buy sparkling champagne wherever beer is sold. Cost just pennies more. Sparkling champagne malt liquor. Metropolis Brewery, Trenton, New Jersey. Reuben Mitchell, Dardanella. This is Monitor 67. My name is Morgan.
See to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. From NBC.
WNBC-FM, New York.
Hi, everybody. This is Mimi Benzel with an invitation for you to join me weekday afternoons on WNBC AM, just after the 12 noon news.